Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whatever time of day it might be. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour, broadcasting right here from Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. And I promise you're going to find that out today. This is the place where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea. Harbor Brookings is home to me. I'm Misty Young. I'm your hostess here for the Ocean Mist Power Hour, where we have a supreme selection of everyday deliciousness in language, learning, and growth. And today, I am stoked to introduce you to my guest, Linda Schreiber, who I think of as a hometown hero. And I think of a hometown hero as someone who wakes up every day with a heart to serve, a heart to give, a way to serve the community and the world at large, just from a place of loving and giving and kindness. And I had a chance to sit down with this really cool lady a couple weeks ago and just explore who she is, what she does, why she does it. And I was astounded not only at the things I already knew, but the new things I learned. Let me tell you how we met, and then I will introduce you to our wonderful guest. A year or so ago, I'm one of these weird people that goes in for recreational blood draws. Yes, it is true, it's recreational. I go in because I like to see the numbers. I'm robustly healthy, and have been for a long time, but I watch my cholesterol, I look at my vitamin D, I check out my CRP, which is C-reactive protein. I mean, I look at these things. I wanna know if there's anything growing in my body, like, you know, inflammation. And I'm in the doctor's office one day getting ready to get my blood drawn, and I'm sitting next to this nice lady, and I think we were both reading some kind of books on nutrition or something, I don't know, but we struck up a conversation. And you can't help it when you're sitting in a room with Linda Schreiber, because she's shiny and she's sparkly and there's a glow about her that says, hey, you want to know me. And I've asked her this question too, like, who else should I know that's like you? So I'm hoping at some point that you'll also introduce us to some other fascinating, wonderful guests. And in that conversation, we were talking about nutrition. And here we are in the blood draw office talking about nutrition. And Linda mentioned a really cool company that I'll let her introduce in a few minutes. And from there, the relationship has blossomed and bloomed. And I'm really thankful and appreciative to welcome Linda Schreiber as our guest right here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. And wow, I'm overwhelmed with the compliments. I don't think I deserve all that. It would be wonderful if I really did shine that way. I'm not sure that I do, but we'll go with that right now.
You do shine that way.
Well, we'll go with that. I want to shine that way. Let's say that is in my heart to shine for others, make their days happy, put a smile on somebody's face, do something positive. I will agree that that's my goal. I don't know that I always accomplish that. When we met at the lab, I was talking to you about Azure Standard. And Azure Standard is a company based out of Dufour, Oregon. And they do organic and natural products of food and non-food, personal hygiene and house cleaning products and everything at wonderful prices. And you put an order in once a month and they ship it. They bring the truck down here, ship it down here. And I'm the drop point for the Brookings area. And I've met a lot of wonderful people by being the drop point for this Azure Standard. And so I introduced that to Misty because we all know it's hard to get a variety of natural products in our area. Our farmers market is great. Otterbees is great. But there's still more. There's still more we want. There's still more we need. We don't like to make trips to Medford that often. So this is a really, really wonderful family-based company. Up in Dufour, and I'm the drop point person, so.
It's so cool. Just yesterday, I was talking with my husband, Gary, about being a drop point and the work that you do, and he said, you know, that sounds like a hassle, and I said, I bet it is a hassle, but I've never seen you with anything but a smile on your face doing it. You know, and the only reason I say it's a hassle is because you have to be reliable. You have to show up. You got to be there once a month. You have to manage the drop people, the people that are participating. You know, it's not, and it's a labor of love. I know you don't make any money out of it.
It's not really a hassle. I have wonderful people. Everybody loves to get what they're getting. Everybody's really good about getting their orders in. My husband might term it a little hassle because a couple times the drop days and times have not matched up to my schedule, and so my husband has ended up with the responsibility. Probably not his favorite thing, but he's good about it. So, and my next door neighbor also orders from Azure, so I know I can always turn to her, which is really wonderful to have a neighbor that you can share in similar thoughts on nutrition and health and well-being. I mean, we're always trading ideas and knowledge and products, and so it's really great to have a neighbor that way too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So if you heard the name of the company but you're not sure what it is, it's Azure Standard, and there's a website, Azure Standard. I'm not going to spell that for you, azurestandard.com. And what you do is you set up a free account there, and you can shop. And it's like the Amazon of the West Coast from a family business. I like to think of it as like I'm literally going to the farmer's market because I'm buying from their family farms. And they'll buy things that other farms have produced, and then they'll put it in bulk, and then they'll separate it out for me so I can get raw organic almonds and cashews and fruits and vegetables and frozen goods and things that I can't find everywhere. I eat gluten-free and vegan, so I find a ton of material to put into my fridge, to put into my freezer, and to put into my pantry, and therefore to feed my family good, healthy, nutritious food. So that's azurestandard.com, and I hope you'll take a look at it. Again, there's no charge for you to participate in it. Of course, you have to pay for whatever items you order with it, but they don't charge you anything for delivering. Here comes this big semi-truck through the neighborhood, and they offload all of your cartons with a dolly. A driver comes out, and you get your frozen goods, you get your refrigerator goods, and you get your pantry goods, and you get to meet good friends. So thank you for doing that. I think it's important work.
Oh, no. Fully appreciate it. I enjoy it very much, and I fully appreciate all the people participating in it to make it work.
You know what else is neat is when you said we don't like to go to Medford that often. It also helps reduce the footprint. You know, we each of us have a carbon footprint that we put on the earth, and having one truck go out to the West Coast. In fact, I happen to know Azure Standard delivers, if I'm not mistaken, to all 50 states. I know they have a route that goes all the way to Florida.
Wow.
I know. I looked at their routes. I thought I should get my girls in Reno hooked up on this. So it's neat that with one truck that goes out to all these communities, people, move to a shorter transition. I mean, I can drive from my house to your house instead of driving out to Trader Joe's or Natural Grocers in Medford to get the things I need. So there's so many positives for using a program like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, the gluten-free and the dairy-free and all of that's so expensive everywhere else.
It is.
This has really helped our family too with my daughter's dietary needs right now, and it's actually good. the stuff is actually good.
It is. And one other thing that I know, they're just getting ready to launch this spring, and I'm excited about it because I've never done this before, so here comes something new in my life. They do plant starts, right? So, I mean, you can order things that are already ready to go. They're plants that you can put them in the ground. Now, I have not done this ever.
I do it every year.
Do you?
I am a horrible person at planting seeds. I don't know what my problem is. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. It just fails. If I put seeds in the ground, I don't know if I put too many. I don't know if I bury them too deep. I don't know what the problem is. But I have a horrible time thinning them out, too, because there are all these little new plant lives. And it's like, which one do I destroy?
Right,
I completely mess it up if I go from seed. So that's a waste of money, time, and effort. And it breaks my heart when I have to pull them out. So.
I love it. I love to hear that. I feel the same way. I'm like, I can't take that plant out of the ground. No.
How am I supposed to decide which one was going to be the best?
And then right.
So anyways, I do order their plant starts, and they are very strong and hardy and good. And I love to order like odd things that I wouldn't have normally got, gotten somewhere else or in seed. I don't even know how to pronounce the name of this one squash, but I actually got introduced to it by Otterbees, and it's this Cambodian squash. I'm never going to pronounce the name right on it, but it is absolutely my very, very, very favorite squash. And then they had a start for it like 2 years ago at Azure. And I planted like four of them. I really didn't think they were going to make it. I ended up with like a dozen of these huge Cambodian squashes. And they're they're the best.
That is so cool. I got to get the name of that, or you can direct me to that plant start I looked on the website last time when it was time to do the order, and their plant starts weren't ready yet. So anytime now, it feels like.
Yeah, I think end of March, beginning of April. I mean, they're up in the snow right now. They're kind of buried. So.
True that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they do a good job with that, and that was fun. And I suggested I was sitting with Kathleen from Otterbees recently, and I suggested that maybe she find a source for plant starts too. You know, this in between season when
yes.
the vegetables and the fruits are kind of on the low, slim pickings. You know, and we're all getting anxious to start planting our gardens. That might be an avenue. So she might be having some new product too. We'll see.
That's cool. Now, I'm interested in Otterbees. I know you've mentioned it before, and I went to their website, but I haven't kept that in my head like I did with Azure Standard. Talk about Otterbees. What is it? What do they do? How do they work? Tell us about it.
Well, that's a local person. That is Brookings. That's Kathleen Dixon.
Yes.
Sorry. And she purchases products, or she's found sources of products all the way from Langlois, Port Orford area down to Crescent City and all the way out past Cave Junction. And she actually makes the rounds and collects these items. You know, she gets good rate. She puts it on her computer every Friday afternoon, says this is what's available. Monday afternoon, she closes it off. And Wednesday afternoon, she's delivering it to
wow.
you. And it's nice, you know, natural grass-fed beefs and lambs and porks. And then fruits and vegetables, and sometimes really unusual fruits and vegetables.
Like jackfruit? That wouldn't be local. I don't think you could get that locally.
Yeah, but you know, really good stuff. And some dried goods, coffee, you know, the local coffee beans and, well, I mean, not locally made, but locally yeah. processed and yeah. roasted yes. coffee beans and different products like that. And she's looking to expand to a few more items here and there. But, I mean, she and her husband are like the soul.
They're the people. They're
the ones. They're it.
You know what's kind of cool is like they're sort of like a littler version of Azure Standard, sort of like a micro version,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and really focused on it has to be local.
Yeah.
And she's just really into the local markets. And so I actually met her a few years ago. She had it kind of set up different a few years ago. And I had a girlfriend who purchased her. She had a summer thing where you could you could get a box of fruits and veggies.
Oh, like a CSA, a community supported agriculture. Is that
what
that's called?
Yeah. And so you didn't really know what was going to be in your box every week.
Nice.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's when I got introduced to that Cambodian
squash. Yeah, I was going to say, right.
But I had a girlfriend who signed up for it, paid for the whole summer, and then moved away June 10th.
Whoa.
And so she turned it all over to me, and she said, you know, I did this with Otterbees. You know, you want to go? And I'm like, I have no idea what Otterbees is, but okay, I'll just show up
sure.
and get my box. And, you know, ended up making really good friends with Kathleen, who is an awesome person in our community, does an enormous amount of good in our community, too. So
that's fantastic. Maybe Kathleen becomes one of the next hometown heroes that we have a chance to interview.
I think she ought to, yes.
I love it. That's fantastic. Well, I love how, you know, some of the things that you stand for and believe in life are nutrition and physical fitness and being energized with the foods that you eat. I appreciate that. I also know that you're a big advocate of putting the right stuff in your mind and putting the right kind of information into your head. And you do that especially with your own children. Is that correct? Talk about this. You've homeschooled not one, not two, not three, but four kids. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a saint, you're an angel, you're not just a hometown hero.
No.
Thank you.
No, there was some yelling and screaming in there. So I don't think saints and heroes do that. actually, I started homeschooling in San Diego. Some people think that maybe I was kind of thumbing my nose at the school system here or something like that, which is not the case.
Yeah.
I chose homeschooling as a lifestyle. And so I was doing it when we were living in the most la-di-da neighborhood of San Diego where they had the best schools. I was still homeschooling.
Right.
I homeschool for a lot of reasons. Mostly, I just really love my kids.
Nice.
And I love being around them. I love learning. And I wanted them to love learning. I didn't want them to just be doing worksheets and busy work and things because they had to. I wanted them to develop a passion for learning, and I wanted them to learn how to learn. I think when somebody's just directing you all the time, You don't really learn how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are kind of pointed in the right direction and encouraged to seek things out, you learn how you can best learn. and so I was really strong into that. I was very opinionated, so I would have been the worst enemy of any school teacher because I probably would have been really critical and mean, unintentionally, always wanting to offer good ideas and advice, but I probably just would have been too opinionated and grumpy.
I love it. That's awesome.
So I homeschooled, and I loved it. I loved it a whole lot. I had four kids, four different learning styles, four different sets of curriculum. So
wow.
It's not like I turned around and
there was
opened
no
up.
Cookie cutter.
No. I couldn't find one curriculum that worked for any of them or all of them. It's not like when my son finished second grade, I saved the second grade teacher's manual and then went to my daughter on that. It kept evolving into
wow.
whatever each child was, where their interests were, their learning styles. I had one that was completely digital, and he actually hated to see pictures in a book because
wow.
they were a distraction.
Right.
And then I had another one who had a real difficult time reading, so pictures meant everything to him. And then I had my daughter who needed to sing her way through school.
Neat.
And, you know, and then I had the other one, my one daughter who's very passive and you kind of almost need to shove it down her throat.
Open wide. Here we go.
So, yeah, very different learning styles. I loved it. I have to say, I tease everybody that I pretty much now have an eighth grade education, and I actually have a college degree. But
well, I know, this is the crazy part. You actually have a college degree, a business degree, right? And you
yeah.
started going down the path originally in computer science. You have a science degree, a computer
yeah,
science degree.
Yeah.
But my question is, how did that translate into homeschooling when you talked about, because I find this fascinating, you talked about having to find a way to teach them how to learn. You had to do the same thing to even prepare them to learn how to learn. Like, you had to learn how to teach too.
Oh yeah. Oh my
right.
gosh. I remember going to my first homeschool conference when I decided I was going to do this. And I went to this conference down in San Diego, and they have their own language. Homeschoolers have their own language and
oh
their
gosh.
Own acronyms and
yes.
their own this and that. And I remember walking in and people asking me questions, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And I certainly didn't
deer
have an
in the
answer.
Headlights, yeah.
And I remember after about an hour going into the stairwell, and I just cried my eyes out.
Oh.
I was like, oh my gosh,
what have I done?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just made this commitment.
What am I thinking?
And I must be an idiot. I don't even know this language, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually, having remembered that, I try to make it a lot easier for a lot of other people who want to start homeschooling, because it is an awesome experience. So I don't want too many other people to have that deer in the headlight
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, right.
I think we all do, no matter what, because it is a huge task. At least initially, until it becomes just the routine of your life and that you realize that learning is always going on around you. And you don't have to make it all about books, and you don't all have to make it about, you know, from 8 to 12, we're doing this. And,
right.
You know.
Right.
I had one mother tease that she actually had her kids put on their backpacks, walk out the back door, come and knock on the front door so she could say, welcome to school.
That's awesome.
And then they would do the Pledge of Allegiance, you
oh
know?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
You know, so that they would feel like they were going to school. Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
What a neat idea, though. There's a little structure around that.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, we were lucky if we were out of our pajamas. So. Yeah, so that didn't happen in our house. We've had a lot of fun with it. It allowed us to travel at all different times of the year. And what better education is there than traveling?
Right.
And it's allowed the kids to work at a young age because they could take on different tasks and jobs and not worry. You know, I was kind of good about letting them sleep when they needed to sleep.
Nice.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And
who needs those perfect attendance awards? Hello.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, and then, you know, Oregon is really good on the homeschooling laws as far as allowing students to homeschool students and private school students to still to participate in extracurricular activities at the public school. California is different on that, and they don't let you do that.
Oh, man.
And so then you have to find large groups and kind of create your own teams and
what
your
do they
own
call
activities.
Those, like multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary or intramural or something? I forget what
yeah,
that's called. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were 30 minutes away from the main city in San Diego. So that went with traffic and, you know, it was
right. Yeah.
Two hours.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so we weren't going to get involved in those kinds of things when we were in San Diego. It was a little bit harder. So this has been nice here. You know, my daughter got to compete on the high school track team.
And, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So she gets the full homeschool experience. She gets math, science, reading. She gets, I'm sure there was cooking and home economics
you
know, gardening. I mean, a much more broad and varied experience. And she gets the athletics and she gets the social experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she got to sleep in when the meets got at her home after midnight.
Right.
Don't tell anybody. Those poor other kids had to be in school at 8 in the morning.
Those poor kids.
I don't know how they did it, but I let her sleep in a little bit. But,
why not?
You know, but we also, if I knew a meet was coming up or something like that, I would like, you know, maybe load up another day heavier and make that day lighter. And,
right.
You know, no matter what, the work got done.
Right.
And she actually had probably way more school days. Well, I know she had way more school days than the schools here do.
Yeah.
I tried to keep all the doors and windows shut when the kids had school off in town so that my kids wouldn't notice.
There will be no outdoor activities today.
Yes. I did not acknowledge all of those teacher work days.
Right, right. Well, you know, and when you're the teacher and you get to determine the work days and the styles, and I love the idea that if your child's not feeling well, let them sleep. You know, and I can tell you, you know, we did a lot of days where it was a mental health day. And you always feel bad calling the school and saying, my child's not well today. I was very careful never to say she's throwing up or this or that. If she didn't feel like going to school, she was sick in her head sometimes, that's okay with me as a mom.
Yeah.
You need to sleep. Go ahead and sleep, you know. And then there were these kids that would come parading through with her. This kid got a perfect attendance record all through school. I'm like, that poor kid. What did their parents make them do?
I know. You know? I've thought about that sometimes. That's pretty amazing,
right.
Actually.
It is amazing.
I can't imagine being so on top of it.
No, I can't. No, I'm a little bit more of a slacker than that.
Yeah.
What I love, though, is that you have an affinity for an ability for math. Talk about teaching. Am I right on that? You're like really good in math. So talk about teaching math to your kids. And was there a difference between the boys and girls, or did that evaporate outside of the standard classroom experience?
I didn't see a difference. Some of my kids are just stronger or more interested in it, more puzzle solving like I am than others. So I didn't see a boy-girl difference on that.
Nice.
The same thing with writing. I didn't really see a boy-girl difference. The math, I just happened to be...
You have a natural aptitude?
I'd always score really high. I really never did think I knew what I was doing, but I always scored really high. And then when it came time to teaching it, until trigonometry, it came pretty easy. But I got to say, YouTube has awesome videos.
Right?
And taught me trigonometry.
Oh, nice.
But I will say with all of this, you know, my fourth child, I did have to stop homeschooling this last year. And I think it's important, you know, it wasn't about me. So if it wasn't working for him, it wasn't working for him this
right.
year. And he needed a change of scenery and he needed this and that. On top of being disappointed that I didn't have the time with him, I was really disappointed because I was going to master trigonometry.
Right? Yeah.
And now I have no one to teach it to.
Oh,
the little boy next door just really isn't interested. He's not interested.
He's like, there's that sparkly lady that wants to teach me trig. No, thank you.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, when I was going to be down to one child homeschooling, I was, you know, some of the things I had to kind of skate through, you know, kind of skim. Some things I hadn't always learned as solidly as I wanted. You know, the kids learned them solidly. I knew what they needed to know.
Right.
But I mean, I was going to master some of these points and get past my eighth grade education. Because once they got to high school, they were so independent with it
right.
that sometimes they were running faster than me with it.
Wow.
And so I was going to catch up this year. And I'm a little disappointed. And if I had more discipline, I'd be teaching myself right now.
Oh my gosh. I love that you mentioned YouTube, though. What a great resource.
Oh, gosh, there's everything.
Everything.
Yeah. But that professor would put the problems up there. I mean, my husband, the computer was in our room. That was the only place we could put the computer. And I know he'd wake up at midnight going,
What are you doing? That's awesome. I'm learning trigonometry, dear. Yeah. Go back to sleep.
But I think the funniest situation that happened was my daughter, my second child, she felt that I was too strict with the writing and I was too demanding on writing. And
Well, this is school, dear.
She just felt that I was over the top, and possibly I was. I think she might be thinking me now since she's doing a lot of writing, probably a lot more writing than she ever planned.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got her own blog site and website on health and wellness and all of that, and she does a great job with it. I'll give myself half a pat for
that. Good job.
But mostly she's developed it herself. But so at one point, I turned her over to a tutor. Even though I knew I could do it, there was no sense in battling life out with her. And I had somebody else tutoring her in her English grammar and everything like that. And when all said and done, the two things we learned was, yes, I was stricter than everybody else.
Good. Excellent.
And number two, the person said, let's just hope she goes in the medical field because she sees absolutely no need for adjectives and adverbs or anything fluffy. And that was Amanda's definition of an adjective or an adverb, an unnecessary part of speech.
Right. That's
and
fluffy.
Everything was just blunt in there.
Right.
I see that she's added a lot more color to her life now.
Oh, so. My goodness. How fantastic. And what a testament to, you know, to the process, the structure, the tenacity, the patience. You know, the patience to teach your own kids. I just respect the heck out of that. I think it's awesome.
I lost my temper more than once, more than I would like to admit. And the only thing that like made me not just completely bury my head in this is I'd read the homeschool magazines and other mothers would talk about how they one day found themselves jumping up and down on the couch saying, "What's going on?" And I'm not the only one that did that.
Right. You know, I'm kind of curious, are more homeschool teachers moms than dads, or is it equal?
Initially, I would have said more were moms. But little by little, more and more dads are stepping into it. It kind of depends on two things. I mean, in an area like here, there's a lot of shift work. So it may actually be dad that's home during the normal hours of the day.
Yeah, because you don't put the kids on graveyard school.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Right, school would be on swing shift this week.
Then they wouldn't know when there was a holiday.
Exactly, yeah.
And then dads, you know, sometimes they have their own expertise. They're just really good. My husband was a philosophy minor in college. And so when the kids got into high school and they were doing worldviews and philosophy type
subjects.
Yeah,
deeper thinking stuff, yeah.
I turned it over to him.
Nice.
Not that I couldn't do it, but
sure.
Why not?
Give them a perspective, a new shift maybe, yeah.
And then sometimes, when I have little ones, I couldn't do all the science stuff properly for the older ones.
Yeah.
So then he was doing science with them. And that meant maybe they didn't get it every day, but you don't need a subject every day.
Right.
And maybe they were getting it at 6 o'clock in the evening instead of at 10 o'clock in the morning. But that was okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm curious, when you did homeschooling, did you kind of network with other homeschoolers? And then do you do field trips together? And would you trade off kids once in a while? Like, hey, we're going to do an XYZ experiment, science or something. You know, we're going to do a garden on this day. And we're going to talk about soils and healthy soils and pH and all of that kind of stuff. Did you guys share duties with each other?
You know, that's a good question because that's what actually got me involved in this community. When I moved up here, it was wintertime. People aren't really out and about in the winter. It was hard to meet people, hard to get to know people. I wanted to find other homeschoolers. And there had been a group, but it had kind of fizzled out. So I found one person who had four names of four other homeschoolers between Gold Beach and here. There were a lot more homeschooling, but she had four names, four phone numbers, And
you called them all.
I called them all, and then we all sat down and we restarted the homeschooling group. And then by default, I kind of became the leader as time went on.
I'm not surprised that you would emerge as the leader. I'm just so not surprised.
And then I did that for 6 years. And we grew from the four, I think when I left the group, there were 47.
Wow.
47 families.
That's more than 11 times, 11 and a half times.
And they were always there. But what attracted them to the group was that I was leading field trips. I mean, every month there was at least one, if not two field trips. I think I counted it at the end. In the 6 years, I did, I think it was 75 field trips.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there were parties and craft days. And then sometimes just play group times and stuff like that. Or classes, you know, you were talking about sharing things. I love geography. My husband is travel business, so that all works. And so, you know, one summer I did a class just during the summer. And so I did geography. And that was a lot of fun. And we had crafts and everything to go with it and studied the different continents and stuff like that. So it was a really strong group. I had really, really good people in that group that just had the same kind of passion that I did for homeschooling, understood that homeschooling went beyond books. Didn't always involve books. So they were willing to take the time and not say, well, wait, if I go on this field trip, I can't get this chapter done in the book. They were real, they understood.
Yeah.
They were real strong in their faith too. Most of them were of faith, and I'm of a Christian faith too. So it was a great group. When I stepped down, it was because things had changed a little bit. Those people, their kids had gotten older and moved on. My kids were getting older, and the new group coming in was a lot of preschool, kindergarten, first grade. It was like a start over, and I had done the bakery enough times and
yes,
the fire station
yes,
enough times.
Yes.
And that wasn't really fair to my kids anymore. And unfortunately, and this is a part of what went wrong with my youngest son, is that a lot of the kids his age had actually just moved out of the town. There was kind of an exodus. One point.
Yeah.
And so there weren't kids left for him. And so it was time for me to step away from the group and use my energies and times to find new things for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stepped away. Now, this week, I'm trying to step back in, even though I don't have any kids to homeschool, because I'm watching the people struggle. I'm watching them struggle. They don't have the same vision that I was given. They don't have they are homeschooling usually out of default right now. Mm-hmm. They don't like the public school, or they can't afford the Christian school,
right,
or something like that. Homeschooling for a negative reason is not a good reason. It makes for disaster.
Right, because if you can do something by design instead of default, there's a whole lot more energy, positive energy that
exactly.
you can put to that project
exactly.
or task.
Exactly. So I don't know that I have the ability, the power, or the draw to put that back into people.
Yeah.
I wish I could, but I'm going to try this week. My next door neighbor who does homeschool and I are going to try to get some women together. And, you know, we did it with four before. We can start
sure.
it all over again.
Well, yeah. If nothing else, I mean, there's a season for everything. And you've had a season. You've had a summer. You've had a spring. You've had this period of growth. And then sort of a fall where you're stepping back. And then perhaps a winter. Now it's time for a new season to start,
yeah.
right? A new spring, a new growth. And you can be the impetus, perhaps,
yeah.
just to lay down a template. I mean, I think about all the things that you've learned in this period. And I love when I think back about what you've explained to me, four kids, four learning styles, teaching them how to learn, not necessarily what to learn, but how to explore, how to grow, how to develop. You've learned some things yourself, and you had to learn how to do all of that. So taking that knowledge now in a wisdom role and turning that over to the people that are beginning to go from default to design, what a cool thing to do.
I hope it works.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like I've had to learn so much. I've had so many different things. I'm not I'm not that smart, but I've had to learn so many things. But sometimes I feel like I don't have anybody to share it with. And like, I always say, gosh, I hope that wasn't in vain that I learned all of that. And I hope somebody out there wants to learn from my experience.
Yes.
Not that, you know, the same thing with the health. I'm not the smartest person, and I certainly don't want to play doctor.
Right.
No, but I'm real careful about giving advice or this or that, but you know, I mean, if I've learned, I'd like to share what I learned.
I'm not the smartest person either. And what I like to think is we don't all need resources. We need resourcefulness, you know, and when we don't have the resources, if we can have the resourcefulness to find the resources, whether it's learning how to learn or developing a program. In fact, there's a program that I know you're involved with, and I'd be interested to talk about it because I think it feeds, there's a definite connect and a disconnect, really, between the schools, the kids that are in the homeschooling group and the Curry Student Success Fund. Is that true? Is that right? Did I get that right?
Well, yeah, that is something new that my husband and I and a group of committed people started this last year.
Right. It's the Curry Student Success Fund, and your motto is really helping Brookings students.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This wasn't something that was on our bucket list in life.
Right, you're pretty busy.
Yeah, I didn't really see that one coming. But unfortunately, what happened is the Brookings Harbor Scholarship Foundation, which is the largest scholarship donors in Brookings to local students, had it in their bylaws, which they hadn't realized they had it in their bylaws, or they had not followed their bylaws, and they weren't willing to amend their bylaws.
Yeah.
At one point, they had been giving scholarships to the kids from the Christian schools and to the kids from homeschooling too. If those students applied for scholarships and qualified for scholarships, they were equally entitled to scholarships. And we had some fantastic success with the homeschool Christian school kids that got scholarships from them. So it was a win-win. The kids got them, and they did well with them.
They're going to take those scholarships. They're going to move on to college, to vocational, whatever their educational path is going to be, and then hopefully maybe return some of that back here to Brookings.
Yeah. It was very positive for us. Change in leadership. And I understand they want to follow their bylaws. That was fine. I had hoped to amend their bylaws.
Got it.
Because their bylaws were created before there was a Christian school in our community and before there were homeschool laws in our state. So their bylaws are a bit outdated, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to amend them. They wanted to limit it to public school students, and that left a chunk of students out
in the cold without the opportunity to get those scholarship dollars.
Right.
Well, I have two questions. So who are the donors to that scholarship fund? Is it just regular old people every day, and do they know about those bylaws? And the second question is, help me understand if I got this right. They used to include the Christian school kids and the homeschooling kids, but then somewhere along the line, somebody said, hey, wait a minute, that's not in the bylaws. Let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. And it isn't in their bylaws. It says their bylaws initially were fuzzy, and then they had revised them, and it said public school.
Okay.
So they're following their bylaws.
I respect that. I get it.
And as far as donors, a lot of them are trust estates, you know, people who have passed on and
some old money.
And yes. And so this money has been there for a while. Some of it would be hard to go back and ask, what their intent was. Cause as I said, there wasn't even a Christian school. So you couldn't have said, well, I don't want money to go into Christian school. There wasn't one.
It didn't exist. Right.
And there weren't homeschooling laws. So people who homeschooled in the time that those bylaws were written, kind of did it more quietly because the state didn't have laws. So those were kind of invisible things. And then, you know, we had just hoped that they would change with
the times, maybe, you know.
And we did ask them, can you go back to your donors and ask their intent? But they didn't want to do that. So that's their choice. And they do a wonderful job, but I wanted everybody to be aware of that. And my husband and I in this group worked for 2 years trying to either work with them work something out with them.
Help them, or maybe see that they could change their bylaws, which, you know, I respect that they have their bylaws and they want to stay with them. I get that. But I also respect the idea that you can also change and innovate and accommodate and make available to everyone. You know, I really believe that when you make your embrace as wide as possible and you bring more people to the table, there's more for everyone. On the same token, I think what you guys did is brilliant. You said, okay, we worked for a couple of years. Correct me if I'm wrong. You said we worked for a couple of years. We weren't able to make the headway with this particular fund. So you created your own opportunity. Is that right?
Yeah. But before I get to that, I wanted to point out, you see, other organizations in town, like the Lions Club and the Soroptimist and others, they were using, they were vetting their scholarships through the Brookings Harvest Scholarship Fund. It's not that they were giving them their money to invest or anything like that, but it was easier to have one application and one process and one everything.
Right.
It's a lot of work for an organization to do their own interviewing and going through all of this. But as these various organizations, as we made them aware that, you know what, there's a group of kids being left out of this.
Yes.
They each pulled out and created their own scholarships. And so I want to give credit onto that, that the Lions Club pulled and did, and they have done their own scholarship, allowing homeschool Christian school kids to do it.
Nice.
Soroptimist is doing their own. The Rotary is doing their own.
Fabulous.
The Republican Committee was doing their own.
Yes.
And the Elks talked to me. They haven't really developed a local scholarship. They still are on a state level, which didn't involve the Brookings Harbor Scholarship Foundation. But little by little, word has gotten out that, you know, a group of kids is being left out. And I'm really pleased that these other groups have pulled.
Me too.
And taken the extra effort to do their own application process. I know it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. But you know what? Good on them for stepping up to the plate and saying, gee, they didn't take the easy way out and say, oh, we'll just let it go this other way. They stepped forward just like you do in so many ways. In little ways, they're hometown heroes too, stepping forward and saying, let's meet the need. We're already going to give this money and a scholarship anyway. Let's meet the need for other kids that are being left out. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, credit there. So we did start our own fund, Career Student Success Fund. We do not exclude the public school students from applying. So this is not just for Christian school or homeschool. It's for all students. But it's also for adults, adults who have decided that they want to go back either to college or trade school or a certification program. And you know, money's tight. They might have a family now, they might have a mortgage now. But this can make the difference in the whole family's lifestyle and opportunities for an entire family if mom or dad could improve their education. So we opened it up to them too.
I love it. And it is a 501c3. Mm-hmm. So it does accept contributions that are tax deductible. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to just read a little bit out of what you do. So for students, you say, we'd like to help you. We want to help you. If you live in or near Brookings, Oregon, and desire to take the next step in your education, please consider applying for a CCCSSF, which is Curry Student Success Fund, CSSF Scholarship. And the scholarships, as you just said, could be used for anything for college and university tuition and fees. In addition, funding assistance to students for certification programs, job training classes, and trade schools. But what I love is on the other side of this brochure, who we are. The board of directors is comprised of local business people, educators, and retirees who passionately want to see local students succeed. And I love that it doesn't just say, well, you have to be a high school student. You can be anybody. Mm-hmm. You can be anyone who has a desire to learn and grow, and the Curry Student Success Fund is there to help. I think that's great. How can people learn more about this, either as a donor, if they'd like to donate to the fund, or as someone who's interested in seeking a scholarship?
Well, we're working on our webpage now. I'm not sure that the webpage is exactly up. We were in the middle of construction of a webpage, and that soon will be under Curry Student Success Fund. We do have a Facebook page under Curry Student Success Fund, or you can call my husband or myself. We have the brochures, and we'd love to talk to you. And our phone number is 541-469-9850 is our home phone number. And that's maybe not very over-the-top professional. We're only a year old. I mean, barely a year old at the end of this month. We were able to give out three scholarships last year, and I'm certain we're going to be able to give out 6 this year. We do have 7 board members, so it's not just my husband and I operating off the kitchen table.
Nice.
No, we have 7 board members. We have 2 educators, a retiree that he's also heavily involved. I mean, every single one of our board members also belongs to like multiple other volunteer opportunities. Our group is like crazy
full of hometown heroes.
But that's great because they have their hands everywhere. They have a pulse of the community. I'm really proud of who our board is.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. I could not have done this alone. My husband could not have done this alone. I needed their energy. I kind of wanted to bury my head in the ground and pretend I didn't see what was going on.
It's crazy, though. Sometimes once you see, you can't unsee, right?
Yeah. But I wanted to unsee, and I was trying to unsee.
It didn't work.
But to have this group of people that were equally, like, disappointed in the situation.
Yes.
And saw that this could be a great opportunity to do so much more.
Yes.
So that's what we're doing, and I'm really proud of our board, and we'd love to talk to you, and we're still looking for 2 more board members. Ideally speaking, we'd like to have 2 more board members,
sure.
But we've been operating with 7, and
love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the idea that it takes a village to raise a child, right? And and you've been involved in this. Is the thing that just blows me away about you. I mean, I'm so glad that we got to meet and that we've begun to develop a friendship, because I feel like the vast array of things that you're involved in. There's still 2 more huge things I want to talk about, and I know we're running down on time, so I really want to talk about this It Takes a Village idea, and the fact that you step up and you step in and you raise your hand, you know, and you say, how may I serve? And then you do it. Like, so many people, they see and then they unsee and they walk away. They don't just see and unsee. They cover their eyes, they cover their ears, and they say, I don't care, I don't know, I can't make a difference. And you don't do that. You say, man, I saw that and I wish I could unsee it, but I can't unsee it. And so what can I do to make a difference? And you do. And so with Coastline Neighbors, now here's another thing that you're doing. And I love this, and the idea that life is rich, enjoy it with us. Talk about Coastline Neighbors. What is it? How does it help? How does it serve? And what do you do with this organization?
Well, I'll step backwards first. First of all, my grandma and my mom taught me anything that you just were complimenting on. That goes to my mom and my grandma.
Nice.
They were very giving people, very compassionate people. My mom worked for Social Security Administration, and you know, we always have these jokes about government employees, you know, and how they're only going to go so far. My mom
She was the exception to the rule.
Oh, she was super big. She got to know every single one of the clients that came in and applied. She would go the extra mile for them. But on top of that, we lived in a small town then, and she became friends with every single person. But that meant then that I had to become friends with every single person, because she would say, Linda, you know, they're kind of lonely. Why don't you go visit them? Linda, you know, she has a broken leg now. You know, I'm going to make them dinner. You're going to go take it to her.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's how my grandma was, too, in her town. And my grandma actually belonged to, like, 4 different churches, because she cooked for all of them. and always had meals for, I don't even know really where my grandma went to church.
She went everywhere.
I don't really know. But, you know, we were everywhere taking food all the time and visiting with everybody. And the thing with that is also my grandma was not an English speaker. So when I went everywhere with her, they weren't speaking English in the and I had to learn to get along with people, even if I didn't understand what was going on. And I had to learn to be patient and quiet, that they weren't there to entertain me.
Nice.
And you don't realize all that you learn with that.
Well, yeah, but it shows up then later in your life, you know?
Yeah.
You learned how to learn some stuff at a very young age. See, and then I see that whole thing transforming through teaching your children and learning how to teach your children, and then giving and loving and serving in the way that you do now with all these organizations.
Yeah, so that I learned from them. And Coastline Neighbors came about, I did not start the local group.
Okay.
I did not.
I did not do this.
Okay. Okay. It was a wonderful group, that a group of people with a lot of energy that got this started. I actually joined in after they had spent a year and a half slaving over making a 501c3 and getting all the fundamentals established and all of that. I saw them promoted, you know, that they were going to be a new organization in the paper when it was first an idea.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that is something I want to join. But I was taking care of my father at the time, and so I needed to dedicate my efforts to him. And that's kind of what had happened in this town is that either it was my parents or my in-laws that I needed to take care of, or somebody in the community would just kind of fall into my lap.
Right.
That I felt a responsibility to. And all of a sudden, a year ago now, there was nobody that I had to take care of like that anymore.
Right.
My father had passed away.
I'm sorry.
And so there was no one that I needed to
no
do
more
that for.
Direct caring.
I kept waiting for somebody to show up on my doorstep. No one showed up on my doorstep. And so I thought, well, you know what? I had put this aside, and they were having kind of an open house thing at the library to introduce Coastline Neighbors. And I said, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to sign up. What I love about this group is that you only have to sign up for as many involvements that are conducive to you and your schedule. So if you're going to be going on vacation for 2 weeks out of the month, you don't have to worry about finding a substitute for you or, you know, I'm not going to be there. That's going to mess everything up. No, you just don't sign up for those 2 weeks. You sign up for days and times and activities, volunteering that work around your schedule.
It's sort of like the Uber of the Uber model of volunteering and helping your neighbors.
Yeah.
I love this line in here in the brochure for this. It says every neighborhood has good neighbors. Yeah. And they can sign up to help their neighbors if they want to and if they're around and if they're available. What are some of the things that you do as what's your role? Are you a volunteer?
I'm a volunteer.
Yes.
And now I am assisting, or I've taken on the responsibility of heading the volunteers and just making sure all the other volunteers are doing okay, don't have questions, don't have problems.
So you're doing some volunteer coordination while you're also offering services to your neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to take a load off of some of the board members and all of that. So I they asked me to be on the board. I'm not really a good board person.
I'm not
just
either, for the record.
Tell me what to do
and I'll do it.
Do it,
that
kind of thing.
Right.
But I get impatient at board meetings and stuff like that.
Me too. So. I'm like tapping my thumb. I'm like, come on, let's get this done.
So, but the things I do that are the things that are available to do, I mean, sometimes you're just transporting somebody to a doctor's appointment or a physical therapy appointment or dentist or something like that. It could be local.
Yep.
It could be Crescent City. I drove a woman up to Coos Bay for her doctor's appointment. She was thrilled to be going to a doctor's appointment in Coos Bay because she hadn't left Brookings in 7 years.
Oh, the poor thing. So she was on like a little mini vacation, daycation with you.
And then
you.
It was fun for me because see it from a whole new, you know, like you're pointing everything out.
Right.
You know, and it was like you were taking a tourist somewhere.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then what was the ultimate top off for that day? Come on now.
Oh, we went to Face Rock. We both got big ice creams.
I love it.
And I never eat ice cream, but we both went. We were like two little kids.
Oh, that's so great.
We ate our ice cream, but we also went around Cranberry Sweets. The poor lady probably went home in diabetic shock.
She probably went home happy and fulfilled and felt like she was cared for, you know? And I mean, you didn't have to drive her to Coos Bay, I'm sure of that, but you signed up and you did it. And this is just the kind of stuff that makes you a hometown hero. And I wish we had more time to talk about Coastline Neighbors. What I love about Coastline Neighbors is it says it's like neighborhoods in the past, neighbors helping neighbors. It's where you belong, where you matter to others, where you can be cared for beyond your immediate families, and where you can grow. And I love this too, helping each other thrive and doing what is needed to lead fulfilling, healthy, safe, and secure lives for as long as possible in the home of their choice. See, that's what makes you a hometown hero. Like, people see this kind of stuff and they're like, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I got to back up. You know, they have to unsee. But you didn't do that. You stepped forward and you said when the opportunity arose, you stepped forward and said, how may I serve? And I just love that about you.
Well, I love that about Coastline Neighbors. I'm glad they're there for me to volunteer through and meet awesome people, you know, grocery shopping, little things. I would have wanted that from my father or my mother that I was so far away from, to have another set of eyes on them, to have somebody driving them.
Yes.
You know, my dad kept trying to drive way beyond when he should have been driving.
And, right.
You know.
Dad, it's time to stop.
So I love what this group is, and it should be in every community. It's not, but it is a national thing, and it's in different places, but ours is a local grassroots franchise of it, I guess. Can you have a franchise in a nonprofit?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of an interesting approach to it. I have franchises, and so that's an interesting approach. The website, if you're interested in looking up more information about Coastline Neighbors, is very easy: coastlineneighbors.org. And you can visit the organization on Facebook as well. Now, I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I have to ask you about the shoes organization.
Oh my goodness! Shoes. I forgot about that.
We only have I think we have 4 minutes left.
Okay, well, this is easy.
Okay.
This is easy.
Rock and roll, girl.
The next shoe bank is this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. in the lower level of the Elks Lodge. We do it every second Saturday
of
the month from 1 to 3 lower levels of the Elks. If you have shoes to donate and it's not on that day, there are 3 bins down there underneath the deck.
So anytime. Somebody can just go anytime and donate shoes. What's the name of the organization? Or is there one? Is it just,
we're just the shoe folks? We're the shoe bank.
And, okay.
We're not in a nonprofit with a 501c3. It was just kind of a community.
Casual, bring it together. Yeah. You saw a need. Everybody stepped forward.
Yeah, and
Hometown
the Elks has been wonderful to allow us to utilize the space for storage.
How fantastic.
And to allow us to do that once a month to open it up to everybody. So the shoes are for everybody.
Okay.
It's not based on need. It's not based on you bringing in a donation. It's just, they're there, frugal shoppers to homeless people.
So everybody, anybody who needs shoes can go to...
Or wants shoes
can go to the Elks Lodge on the second Saturday of the month, any month of the year, from 1 to 3 p.m.
In the summertime, we do take time off. In the summertime, we do. So June, we have it, not in July. In August, we push it to the 4th. We call it back to school day. So.
Okay. But at any time you want to donate shoes, you can you can bring shoes. So and you don't want to bring crummy stuff.
No, please don't
bring holes and broken heels or shoes that need repair. This is like usable shoes that someone could come down, try on, and walk away in.
And some of them times they're brand new, still with the tags on them.
Love
so
it.
It's a good bargain basement, I'm telling you. So shoes are expensive, and especially when you got family and growing kids, they're expensive.
Yeah.
And so we love to have people come on, and they can call me again at 469-9850. In between, if there's a need, I know baseball season's starting, and all of a sudden you try to put those cleats on the kids, they don't fit.
Right.
I got them.
I got the cleats. I love it.
So people can call me too. You know, I prefer you come on those days, but if there's a need in between, or you see somebody with a need, if you see kids at school that are definitely lacking in a pair of shoes, call me. I will meet in between to get you the shoes you need.
I love that. I love you. I love who you are and who you stand up in this community to be.
I'm not the only one. There are some really great people in this community. So.
Well, we're looking forward to meeting them. You know, part of what we want to do here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour is we want to find those hometown heroes, whether they're here in Brookings or here in Harbor or just our coastline neighbors, if you will, up and down our coast. There are a lot of wonderful people here who put self behind others, who put others first. And thank you so much to our listeners for joining us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, where we've had an awesome opportunity to visit with Linda Schreiber, a hometown hero right here in Brookings. We're here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour in Brookings Harbor. This is the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. Brookings is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, as I know you learned today. We're here in Harbor, where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea. Brookings Harbor is home to me. Thank you for being part of the Ocean Mist Power Hour. And Linda Schreiber, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.